podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
It's got to 2-2, and we've still got more than half an hour to go. And here's Ozil, Lacazette, Ozil!
Yo!
This is a melody.
Baby, welcome to the party. I'm off the Meyer Zandoline. That's why I'm over retarded.
That's why I'm over retarded.
Baby, welcome to the party. I hit the boy up and then I go skate in a Rari. Baby, welcome to the party. Pick some of that. Give me lit. Gun on my head.
One in the
head. Send in the clip.
Send in the clip.
Baby.
Baby,
baby.
Baby, don't trip. Baby,
don't trip. Just lower your tone.
Hello, welcome to another Touchy Gooners podcast. My name is Lewis. I'm joined by German DZ.
Yes.
I like that name. It's got a nice ring to it.
I'm expanding, you know. I'm expanding my naming, you know.
Yeah.
German is too basic, bro. I need to, you know.
I hear that. You've been getting persecuted for your name for too long now. And hey. We got Shabs.
Yo.
Shabs is Shabs, you know. We're not going to do anything spicy with that name. We're happy with that, ain't we, Shabs?
Yeah, we're happy. Good, solid African heritage.
I hear that. Guys.
German Dan's choked.
What's that? J2O? You're choking on your J2O? He's
choking on J2O. Wow. This youngster can't handle these. He can't handle this hard stuff, man.
We're going to be talking a little bit about the Slavia Prague preview. Towards the end of the show, but we'll talk a little bit about the game against Sheffield United on the weekend before we get there. So obviously it was nice to get that victory. We had the instant match reaction after the game, which was on our Patreon page. So big up all you patrons. If you are interested in becoming a patron, the link's at the bottom of the screen if you are watching live, and it'll be in the bio as well. So you can become a patron and listen to that. So we're going to quickly touch on the Sheffield United game. It was just nice, man. It was just nice to have a relaxing, comfortable victory for once, you know. Just didn't have any hairy moments, really. I felt like past maybe like the first 15 minutes of the game, I felt like we were pretty well in control. You know, we were creating decent chances, and we scored some really, really nice goals. Quite what we can take from this game, I don't know, because the level of the opposition is pretty poor. They are bottom of the table for a reason. German Dan gone? German Deez, where you gone? Right, German Deez is back. I'll start with you because Shabs was on the post-match pod on Patreon. What can we take from the Sheffield United game? What impressed you the most, and what can we take from this game going into tomorrow's game?
I can't lie, I didn't want to overanalyze the game too much. I still felt that Sheffield United are relatively poor position. A showcase for us being able to completely launch and execute a new kind of game plan. And this J2 will mess me up.
It's 0% alcohol, Dan. Literally, 0%.
This is killing me. This guy can't handle his drink, you know.
Alright, because you made me laugh.
Choking on J2O, fam.
You made me laugh, but nah. let me catch my vibe. So I felt like I didn't want to go too much into the game. I felt like I'm not sure if this is a good like sort of barometer to say we're gonna have a good performance against Slavia Prague. I still need to see that. So.
Yo.
No, Dan, you're fried, man. You're fried. Sam, take over, man. Take over.
This is
Dan. I don't know what Dan is on.
What's in that fucking bottle, man?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
This is crazy.
Pear and guava. So it should be good.
Yeah, all right, cool. We don't do product placement. They ain't fucking paying us for it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, Shabs, finish what Dan was trying to say. Yeah, like we're not being over too analytical over this game. What are we taking from this game until tomorrow?
I agree with what Dan's saying, man. I'd be lying if I said I didn't agree with him. I think the quality of the opposition was so poor. Just so, so poor. So it's hard to kind of take stuff, to be honest with you. I think what was good for me was, the performance from Martinelli. I liked that. I was encouraged by that. The performance from Saka playing in the 10 is something that we haven't seen before.
Have we not seen it before? I'm sure he's played there before.
I don't remember.
It was the left side of the
of
the midfield.
Okay. Right. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I remember.
It's just another string to his bow, really.
Yeah. But not. And it, you know, for me, such is his game intelligence. I did say on the post-match pod that I do want to see Saka. I think it's credit to him, but I do want to see him kind of be utilized in one primary position and really kind of sharpen his set there. I think it's a luxury that he can fill so many gaps for us, but I don't necessarily want to see him playing in the 10 moving forward. I think if there's an emergency situation, I'd much rather him in our forward line than in our back line. But yeah, I think I'm encouraged by that performance. But again, I don't want to get too carried away by it either, because I don't think the quality of the opposition was good.
I'm going to try and make as many parallels to the game on the weekend to the game coming up as well. I'm going to try and interlink them both, right? Yeah. So I think the way we set up on Sunday... It was Sunday. The way we set up on Sunday, would that be how you guys would set up tomorrow with, potentially putting Xhaka at left back? When I saw Xhaka and Saka, I was thinking, fucking hell, he's put Saka at left back, isn't he? And I thought, I'm not too sure about that, you know. But it was a nice surprise, obviously, to see Xhaka at left back. And I think in a game like Sheffield United, where he wasn't really pressured on the football, he can zip it out from the back. You know, we've seen him do that in that kind of third centre back kind of role where he drops into the defence and he can spray the ball about. You know, he's not under any pressure. He's got good passing range. We know Xhaka has these things when he's not under any pressure. So from left back, I think that really suited him. He was able to zip the ball into the midfield, a couple balls around the corner for Martinelli as well. I think, not to say that Xhaka can be a full-time left-back, because nobody's trying to see that, but potentially something we could use against Slavia Prague, because I didn't think Slavia were particularly, great in wide areas.
They're not that good, really.
So is that something that we would look towards to doing tomorrow, or would you, bring in Cedric?
Me personally, I would bring in Cedric. Like my thing is, like, why would you want to risk it? I think this is it's such an important game, and I think both the club, we as a club, have a history of just making like crazy errors, and Xhaka as a player as well has a history of making ridiculous errors, and I kind of wouldn't want to mix that concoction on a game that I think is so important. I think for tomorrow night, what we are talking about is the difference between Arsenal featuring in European competition next season. And if we don't progress, if it comes to an end tomorrow night, this will be the first Arsenal team in something like 20 plus years that they haven't featured in a European competition of some sort. And that's absolutely ridiculous, you know? There could be no argument there. So I get what Xhaka can do. I'd rather see him starting in the midfield if he does start at all, and then dropping into that position with some as we've seen him do, kind of move into that halfback quarterback zone, than have him start there as a left back.
I think I disagree with you, Shabs, on this. Just because I kind of feel like Tierney being out, we don't have an actual solution for left back. And I know Cedric kind of worked in some games, but I really didn't like him on the left because he comes inside, which forces then the player that plays on the left midfield and the left midfield to go wide. And I think Xhaka being a left back that doesn't go forward kind of allows the left winger to pick up certain runs and get the ball early. And also, ideally, I'm looking going forward as well. Aubameyang playing for the middle. Xhaka will be able to play long balls from that position.
That's not happening, bro. You need to get that out of your head.
Probably not. But I'm looking and saying this is something that we need to, that we should try implement and then carry out for the rest of the season. And we need to get some continuity, keep chopping and changing things. We need to get into a groove now. If Xhaka is at left back, listen, I'm not the biggest fan of Ceballos. He has some qualities. However, if we can get him in the team, if he can get Partey in the team, get Xhaka in the team, in different roles, I think we need to get all the players that are decent enough to play in the team. And I think Cedric is decent enough. I'd play him on the right. Let him and Chambers kind of compete for that position of who delivers better crosses. I think they both deliver better crosses than Bellerin. Bellerin does, however, have good movement. So let all three of those boys compete for the right back position in midfield. Let Partey and Ceballos do their thing. And I think unless we're playing against a team where I really feel like we need to defensively astute or robust centre midfielders in midfield, we should go with the Partey being the person that receives from all angles, and Ceballos as a bit of a support, and basically the player taking away some of the midfielders that would be onto Partey and being a bit of a floater. And I look forward to also seeing Ødegaard coming back, of course.
Didn't train today.
No, he won't be in that game, I think. He won't be involved in that game. One thing I absolutely not want to see is Saka at left back. That time has passed.
I don't think that's going to happen.
This kid is a forward. This kid is a forward. Is one of our best forwards. Probably our best forward, to be fair. There's no way wasting him at left back, even if he is a good left back. We need to try and maximize what we have going forward. And I think the thing that we lack for a long, long time was always forwards that can pin the ball and retain the ball. And both him and Issa are very, very capable of that. And also of going in behind. So we need to make sure that both of these boys play and they allow us to dominate and pin teams back. That I think Xhaka for now works for me at left back. Don't try going rolling forwards. Keep it very simple. It works for me for now. We need to just find something that makes us achieve our targets. We don't have many more games to play, you know? So,
yeah, it was an interesting set up on Sunday because I'm not going to let you guys get away with it, but you know, obviously we have to talk a lot about Ceballos' performance, right?
Yeah.
I don't think you guys did it justice on the post-match Patreon chaps.
Yeah, okay.
And I don't know whether that was intentional. I don't know, but this was the main reason why I wanted to come on today's pod was to, you know, iron out a few,
Look, my thing with Ceballos, reputationally, this guy is an elite footballer, or he's supposed to be an elite footballer. Yeah, he's had a fantastic footballing education, and he plays at Real Madrid. Really, like his parent club is Real Madrid. Yeah, Real Madrid don't. You know, Real Madrid don't pick you up if you don't have anything about you. But, you know, he showed a lot of
Julian
promise. He showed a you know, by and large, they don't pick you up if you don't have promise, if you don't have something about you. Yeah? So he showed a lot of promise early in his career as far as like youth competitions. But in the men's game, he's never really set the world alight for me. Not yet. And he's still, and the thing is, he's still relatively young. What is he, 24 years old? Yeah. So I don't think that's harsh. I don't think that that means that he can't or that he will never, but I think he hasn't really. And then he's a player that I look at as, you know, you're supposed to come with a level of technical competence. Yeah. And he is really what maybe my expectations of him are unrealistic, but I'm thinking you come to Arsenal. Yeah. What I need to see from you is that you are one of the best midfielders in that side, just in terms of your fundamentals, every game you play. And he doesn't, he has not shown me that. He hasn't shown me that in the 2 years that he's been here. And so my thing is that I do like the player. I like him when he does good things. I'll always sing about him when he does good things. He's extremely infuriating when he doesn't do good things. And for me, he's just had too many games where he doesn't do good things, where he can't execute his actions quick enough, where he dwells on the ball too long. He could be sloppy in possession. When he has a game like to, like his involvement in the first goal, I think was fantastic. I think he had that double involvement where he had the back heel. I can't remember. I might be mixing up my moves, but
there was a couple back heels. The first goal was the flick into Lacazette's feet.
The first goal was the flick into Lacazette, but was he involved in that move earlier? Or there was
he was involved in the Gabriel Martinelli move.
He was involved in the Gabriel Martinelli shot. So again, that was one possession. You know, he was involved. He had a neat back heel kind of. Who did the ball come to? And they played it across out wide to Martinelli, and he came inside. And got his shot off. And I thought, oh, that's decent from Ceballos. He was very, very good in the Lacazette goal. That was a bit of ingenuity. That's what we expect from you. These are the types of things that he can do and we should see more of. My thing is, I don't want to talk about this guy after he's balled out against a lackluster Sheffield United side. I'll be honest with you. I don't. What I want is in the Benfica game. Some of our tougher games this season in the Benfica game, in the not even in our toughest games, in games where it's just like you're on the pitch and we need to control the games and we can't control it. I'm not going to beat him up as much as he was beaten up for his performance in the Liverpool game. They were completely dominant. You know, when we've played against United away and stuff like that, fine. Like, you know, if we can't control those games, cool. But I need to see more than you just turn up when it's against Sheffield United. So that's where I am with him. So yeah, I think credit where credit's due, but I also don't. I can't go the other way and go overboard with him now and say, because by and large, if this is what it comes down to, if this is what we're hinging the success of his 2 year loan to Arsenal on, for me, it's not good enough, man.
I've got a couple of thoughts on Ceballos as well. I think Ceballos is a player that deceives you technically. He's good technically, but he's not excellent technically. I think he can execute good things, but a lot of times he chose us the easy control, the easy solution. So, and I think technically very good players, if you just look at touches, for example, if the ball is in the air, Ceballos will let it bounce twice so he can touch it with ease. Technically very good players try to meet the ball as soon as possible, make the difficult control to get that extra 1 or 2 seconds to affect the game. But Ceballos, just the way he interprets games or football in general, he always will take that option that takes a bit more time. That's the way he plays football. That doesn't mean he's absolutely poor technically. That does mean he's not excellent technically. He doesn't execute things of high difficulty often enough for me. And also the thing with him that I don't like especially is that the fact I don't feel like he's a real difference maker in a game of high quality. If it's a game like Sheffield United, yes, Ceballos will ball out. Burnley, he balled out. Even I think there was one game against Brighton, he played quite well or something like that. There's a few games where I felt like he played quite well, you know. Like,
West Brom.
Yeah. But when it's a game of high speed, high technical requirements, when it's really like your first touch needs to be spot on and you need to move the ball quickly, I feel like he struggles. And it doesn't, one, align with the way he plays football in general. Two, he's technically overwhelmed, I feel. And Gans, quite frankly, I think he's a player that slightly deceives you technically. Doesn't mean he's not a good player. I think he's a decent player. Just don't think he's a player worth investment for Arsenal, and also not worth a player hinging your hopes on. I do think, however, that for the remaining games, he can play a good role for us. I wouldn't discount that. I just don't think going forward, this is something a player I would like to continue having Arsenal.
Yeah, I slightly take issue with the point, because I think the back end of last season, we saw good performances against Man City in the FA Cup, Liverpool. Who did we play in the FA Cup run last year?
We played Chelsea.
Man City, Chelsea had good games
from him in the final.
So I think it
a very good performance? He was good in the final.
I think it was good.
This is also the thing with Ceballos.
I don't think he struggled. I think my point is, I don't think he struggled in those big
games. I can't
think
of a standout game in a game of high quality from him. I'll be honest. I can't think of a standout performance in a game of high quality. And Odegaard has been here 3 months. I can already name one. I can't name that for Ceballos.
Yeah, fair enough.
He's been here nearly 2 years.
And that's what it is. Listen, as far as Arsenal's best midfield currently, he gets into it for me. Like, if we're talking about a current formation, like, who am I picking to start midfield every game? If I'm on FIFA or Football Manager and I've got the current Arsenal side that I've got, I'm picking Partey and I'm picking Ceballos. So it's not, I'm not questioning it from that perspective. My thing is, I'm not going to lose my mind about this performance against Sheffield United. I think that he played well. I think he did very good things. I don't think he's worth the investment. I don't. And I don't know why you're so invested in him either. I'm not really.
I just wanted a conversation about his performance, because I felt like,
and I just wanted you to admit you that you're not really over it. And I've got you now.
Which you guys kind of glossed over it on the Patreon piece, which I thought was a bit funny, because if he had a bad game, you'd be talking in length about it. So I personally like to see a bit of balance. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, to be fair, yeah, I was that. Yeah, it was not for me to go into it too much, really. I gave him an honourable mention.
No one wants to take responsibility.
No, I gave him an honourable mention. I did. Mm-hmm. I gave him an honourable mention on TLF on Sunday as well. So,
fair enough. That's two forums, you know.
Yeah. I've called him on two forums. I said, yeah, that's it. They even said, did Lewis pay you? I said, nah. He's not fighting me about Ceballos. I'm not losing my mind about him. That's all I'm saying about it.
Fair enough. So would you look to start Ceballos in midfield tomorrow, Partey, Shabs, or you think bring Xhaka back in?
Me personally, I probably would, but then that goes against what I said about Xhaka earlier and not using, because I think if Ceballos does start in midfield, then Xhaka almost definitely starts at left back. I'll say it the other way around. If he does go with Xhaka as the left back, Ceballos absolutely has to play in the middle of the park. I think he is better when he's with Partey. I think he's better when there's a number 10 in the side as well. I think he's better when that number 10 is a bit more dynamic and fluid and can combine with him. I think the way that Arsenal as a team played on Sunday against Sheffield United, although the opposition was very poor, I think there's a lot that we can consider about the way in which the team played. That there was, I'm not calling for Lacazette to start or anything, but I think Lacazette and his positioning worked really well. Saka and Pepe seemed to work really well with each other, and that left a lot of time and space for Lacazette combined with Ceballos really well. And that left a lot of time and space for Martinelli on that left hand side, really free out wide on the left, and he was like often our furthest player forward, and I think that's how he was able to kind of get him behind the lines, offer that threat in behind, and you know, we finished the game with the most shots for our side. And I think there are things that we could benefit from adopting similar to tomorrow, but I would be opting for Aubameyang to start, obviously, and that means that we operate a bit differently. I also don't think that Saka should start in the 10, like I said earlier.
If Ødegaard's not fit, who should start in the 10?
I'd probably go with ESR in that case. And I think ESR could fulfill a similar role as Saka did in the 10, as far as his range of movement, because ESR is a very dynamic footballer, and you know he's very intelligent also, and picks up a lot of the spaces. But yeah, sorry, I know that Dan was going to say something.
I do want to talk about Martinelli, but since we're on the point of the number 10, I think we should go with Saka again in the 10. I think I do like ESR. I think Saka in the 10, I like the turn, the ball reception. And don't get me wrong, ESR has good ball reception as well, but ESR plays like when the man is behind him, he will lay it off and move to get the ball. Whereas Saka is the kind of player, he would wait for the player to come, pin him, then spin. And I kind of feel like in a game like Slavia Prague, these guys are not that good. Though if he plays like that against Slavia Prague and gets 2-3 good turns in the first half, I think we will create significant overload wide in the wide areas that will allow us to get in behind them. So I need that early, and we need the goals early. So I would like to see Saka in the 10, because I think from wide right, he won't get the ball in areas as centrally. He will get it in the right half space, but not as centrally, where I think he can do a lot of damage with his touch, turn and pin moves that he does do. So I would like to see it. ESR, I'm not sure if he should start this game. If he does, then fair play. But I do think that Saka in the 10, I like to see that. And I feel like we need to talk about Martinelli. He gives us this energy, this movement that really frightens defenders. And we need that as a counteract to Lacazette's lack of movement, because I'm pretty sure Lacazette will start. So I'm literally saying Saka and Martinelli have to start. I know Laka will start. Who will play on the right?
I would
Pepe, but your colleagues are his knights. This is the level.
Yeah, I think Pepe has to start. I think Pepe has to start. But I think if Oba doesn't start, I think you have to have Martinelli on the left, because I think we need like
a move two.
You need two threats. You need two goal threats.
Lack of threat.
But I know what you mean.
He is the threat, right?
Yeah, he is.
And we need an in-behind threat as well.
So I
would be inclined to go with Martinelli on the left.
And I think you're spot on, Luke. I think this is where Arteta has failed, because it's the combinations. It's finding two, like, you know, I see like football about partnerships and relationships on the pitch. And like, if you're going to have that centre forward who comes in really deep and feet to ball to receive the ball in the way that that Lacazette always does, you need that in behind threat. And he hasn't utilised Martinelli in that. When Martinelli is an obvious solution, it was very similar to when we had these gaps in our and flaws in our attacking structure, when we didn't play with a number 10, or when he was using all of these other options in the number 10. They were very obvious solutions, and he didn't do that. He's failed to recognize the combinations, the patterns, how different players, how different attributes that his players possess can work with each other and can combine in an effective way, not just with the ball, but also without the ball, not just on the defensive side of the ball, but also going forward. So these are the things that really, really frustrate me. It's so obvious. You need at least two goal threats on the pitch. You said it, Lou, and I think you're spot on. Like Martinelli, what he has shown us, fine against Sheffield United, whatever, but what he's shown us generally is that he can do that. He does always look to get in behind, and he offers energy, high intensity, and he gets his shots off. I've got time for that.
Also, I think it's I think the way this game goes is going to be quite dependent on how Slavia Prague set up as well. Because in the first leg, they didn't mind playing high. I was quite surprised at how high they played.
That's why.
Potentially, but I think that's just the way they play. Uh-huh. They play with a lot of intensity. You know, they mark you around the pitch, very Leeds-esque. You know, they play with that kind of energy, and you know, and I think that's like Shabs mentioned a good point about Dan, I think you mentioned the point about Saka being able to spin, and I think this is a team that likes to play touch tight, and if you can turn them around, you're going to get chances. However, they might think, well, we're in the ascendancy, essentially. We don't have to score. Arsenal have to score. So do we sit back? And, you know, I don't know if they're good enough to sit back. They didn't look good defensively to me. They didn't look like... I think either way, we can beat them. You know, it's not like an issue of, well, you know, if they sit back, we're in big trouble. Because I don't think they're particularly good in any of those setups. But it would just be interesting to see how the game pans out with the players on the pitch and what Slavia do to, you know, to combat what we're doing and how they set up. Because if they play the exact same way like we did that, like they did at the Emirates, I would definitely put Martinelli on the left. You know, this is all providing if Obba's not fit. Obviously, I'm assuming Obba's not going to play. Martinelli left. I'd play Pepe as well. And maybe just bring ESR on, you know, in the second half. And then play Saka in that 10 role. I think it's very important we play someone who can, you know, in that 10 role. And I'm sure it will be one of Saka or ESR anyway, but someone who can turn them around. And I think Saka is the right man to do that, personally. I'm quite annoyed that Odegaard's not playing, because like I said in the first leg, I think Odegaard would have had a fucking field day against that Slavia Prague team. You know, they wouldn't have been able to get close to him. You know, the ball win behind was on every single time. We just, we were really poor in that game. So,
like any good team, hiring the right employees for your front office is just as important as recruiting the best players for the game. That's why you need Indeed. Indeed is the job site that makes hiring as easy as 1, 2, 3. Post, screen, and interview all on Indeed. Get your quality shortlist of candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description faster. Only pay for the candidates that meet must-have qualifications, and schedule and complete video interviews in your Indeed dashboard. According to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all other job sites combined. Get started right now with a free $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through June 30th. Terms and conditions apply.
Let's move on to the right then. So are you guys having... let's try and link in Pepe's performance, because I thought Pepe's performance against Sheffield United was an interesting one. Obviously, he got the assist in inverted commas for Martinelli's goal. You know, with some good play, which he, you know, was all of his own making, won the ball back, which is, you know, what some people have criticized Pepe before for not being switched on enough. Defensive game, not good enough, but, you know, he won that ball back, drove at the defense. And, you know, we've seen Pepe in those positions before where, you know, more often than not, he's creating something, you know, whether that be for himself or for another person, for another player, he's creating something in that position. So what did you guys think of Pepe's performance on Sunday? And do you think he has done enough to warrant starting in this game? Dan, I'll go with you first.
I think Pepe was all right. Pepe still annoys me massively. Like, this brother just annoys me. But
His first touch is so loose, man. The amount of times that it broke down, you know.
But one thing this guy's
lots of good combination play, and it would get to Pepe, and he would just miscontrol it, and it's like, fucking hell, lad.
But I do think that, I think Slavia Prague are not that good, man. And I do think that the dribbling patch that Pepe has works perfectly against these type of teams, where his touch is just about too heavy for him to chase it, but they'll dive in and he kind of gets past him. And we've seen that enough times in Europa League. And I think he's a player that is very, very keen on getting shots off, which I like from our forwards. He will get his shots off for sure. Wouldn't be surprised if he scores. This is the type of game where Pepe usually notches. I think these are the games that Arteta needs to give him. There's no point playing Willian anymore. Was it 32 games or something crazy? 0 goals. This has to be an end. Pepe still has some, I wouldn't say credit in the bank, but he's got that threat. When he's on the pitch, he's either a threat to us or he's a threat to them. So he's going to give us something.
If we're being real with ourselves, Pepe's had a decent season.
He bags in the Europa League. In the Europa League, he bags. That's
he has.
He's got nine goals and four assists this season, you know, which isn't a bad return.
How many in the Europa? I think like five.
Four goals, three assists in the Europa.
Yeah, like, I don't think there's a doubt about his form or his performance in Europa League. I think that's where he's, you know, amassed a lot of his playing time this season. A lot of the quality of the opposition in the group stages was really nothing to write home about. And no. I really wanted him to rack up his numbers there just for his confidence. But by and large, I think playing in Europe in these types of games does suit him better. And I think the formations that we've utilised in Europe as well, like Arteta kind of, did he not almost always play with a 10, someone in the 10, when we've played Europa League games, whether that was Willock or whatever. I just say, like, I've always maintained this with Pepe. I don't think he's as bad as he's been made out to be. He has flaws to his game, but we don't play to his strengths. And we... He's better when he's not isolated. And I just always maintain that. He's better when he's got combinations. And
if he plays right wing,
yeah,
Cedric's got to play right back.
Yeah. I think so. Cedric, and not just Cedric, you know, if you've got an intelligent 10 as well, because I think Odegaard's able to find him and combine with him really well. Saka combined with him really well on Sunday. I just think when he put ESRs combined with him quite well as well, when he's played in the 10. So he's better when he gets players in and around him. If you look at our attacks as well, and then being lopsided and very kind of left dominant in terms of where the ball comes down to, his role's, you know, been often, not always, but often obsolete in build-up as well. But I always think when he's got players around him, he does better things. He's not a player that I would want. I think people thought he's that player you can give the ball and he's going to be able to take people on and beat them 1v1 and whatnot. His 1v1 capability to me is a bit iffy. But yeah, I think when he's gets himself into good positions inside the box and that, I kind of back him. I kind of fancy him at times. He can be really frustrating. He can mess up stuff technically, fluff his lines a bit, get the ball stuck under his feet and whatnot. But I back him, man, because I think when he can get his shot off, he can be a threat. He can do something. He can do something for us. And he still does have that pace as well, but we just don't play in a way where he's ever really delivered the service where he can run in behind. But I think he does deserve to play, especially as it might be our last game. I think you get him in. We've got nothing to lose. We need to attack. Get him in.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about Lacazette, because somehow he's amassed, I think that was his 15th for the season this season. I say somehow. I mean, that's, you know, we signed him to have these kind of, we signed him to have better records than this, but you know, this just looks like a good Lacazette season, doesn't it? I mean, because the bar, I don't mean to shit on him, but you know, the bar is on the floor essentially. I don't know what his, just checking now and see what his highest goal scoring season for Arsenal is. If my computer 18, would load. Is it 18?
I think so.
So he's free off for, he's free off from having why is Wikipedia not working? He's free off from his like highest goal scoring season at Arsenal, which, you know, just goes to show how much of a shit show this signing has been. But he's done fairly okay in the league this season. You know, he's got 13 in 27. You know, people wax lyrical about players like Dominic Calvert-Lewin. You know, he only has 14. So,
or Vardy as well.
Vardy's only scored like four non-penalty goals this season. Yeah,
like something so crazy.
Yeah. So listen, I know he gets his critics, and absolutely rightly so. He deserves his critics. But how are you guys feeling about Lacazette going into this game? Are you confident of him delivering? Because I think, listen, if we're all, we would all rather Aubameyang up front, right? I think it goes without saying.
No question.
Right. But unfortunately, he's ill, probably not going to be able to play. So we're going to be relying on Lacazette to come up with the goods. And I just want to get a general feeling of, like, confidence in Lacazette.
Lacazette needs to score in this game. He knows it himself. The bullshit finish that he had in that first leg, he needs to score. He needs to make up for it. He needs to score. It's that simple. If he has any self-respect, he scores in this game.
Yeah, he needs to dust off those ghosts that were from the first leg. Shams, how are you feeling about Lacazette?
I'm very underwhelmed by this player. Because I've seen exactly what he is, and I won't see different from him, you know. And I think, like, look, like, he is a good player. I don't want to disrespect him. He's a good player. He's a good footballer. He's played, you know, at a high level for the majority of his career. Is he what we need? I don't know, man. I'm not convinced. I'm not convinced that he is the player that we need. And I think, you know, he's had ample opportunity.
I think you're being too kind.
No, I think he's had ample opportunity to kind of demonstrate that, yeah, he can really step up and take the mantle. Lacazette just never fails to disappoint us. His disappointments always often come off the back of something positive as well. So off the back of those goals against West Ham, and then, you know, we go and play the next game and do some fuckery. And, you know, so it's the same thing. I'm kind of thinking, you've got two good goals against Sheffield. Which Lacazette is going to turn up? Is he going to be his clinical best, or is he just going to be the guy that, you know, we're all tired of seeing? But if he's going to, he does some things well. And I think if he plays, and I think if Obba's out of the game, then he definitely has to play centre forward. But I think if he does play, Martinelli has to play. And I won't have an issue with that. But apart from that, I hope we sell him in the summer. I hope we get some form of money, and I hope we kind of go in a different direction, because we need a different kind of option up front.
Yeah.
That's where I am.
Just to touch on your point there, Shabs, it's kind of like a double-edged sword, isn't it? It's like, cool, we want Lacazette to score goals, right? For a multitude of reasons. Number one being our benefit in winning football games, right? We want Lacazette to score goals because he's our footballer. We also want him to score goals because, you know, we're kind of thinking, well, the more goals he scores, the more he's going to, you know, get a chunkier transfer value. Yeah. However, the flip side to this is, do Arsenal start getting fucking funny ideas and start thinking,
maybe, okay. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Maybe let's give this guy an extension, or run this guy's contract do down and keep him for a year.
Famous, you know, rapper Drake, Drizzy Drake, German DZ's idol, his GOAT, said, "Don't do it, please. Don't do it, Arsenal. Don't do it. Don't do it. We can't fucking do it. Like, listen, just got to call it a day. We got to call it a day, and just, like, you know, just, like, thank you, sir. Thank you for your years of service, and on to the next one." That's what we've got to do with it, man. We have to start becoming ruthless, especially now, man. Like, we can't mess around. We can't.
Is there... Go on.
Just a couple of thoughts. And, like I said, as I said, I think he's a good player. Nowhere near worth the 50 M's that we paid for. For 50 Impossible. M's, you're looking for an exceptional player. We didn't get one.
He's given us what Giroud gave us, and we signed Giroud for, what, 13 million, 12 million, was it?
Yeah, both good players. Giroud probably better than him.
Giroud's better than him, man. Yeah. Like, let's fight about it, but Giroud's better than him, and I'll go to wherever people want to go to show that.
Both are not great or exceptional players. Both are good.
Yeah,
both just decent level players. And I think the thing about Lacazette that's the thing that makes Lacazette obviously a more disappointing signing is because when we signed Giroud, I didn't really expect too much from him, and at least Giroud had seasons where, you know, he scored over 20 goals for us. He cost 12 million or whatever it was. He had two or three 20 plus seasons. Of seasons where he got like 16 goals in the league. Lacazette's highest Premier League goal scoring season is 13.
Giroud was clear plan B.
Giroud never scored 16 in the league for us as well. So,
yeah, say that again.
Giroud was never
more than 16 in the league.
But it's still more than Lacazette has, turned up with.
Yeah. He didn't mean to interrupt, but he was a very clear plan B from the beginning. He was never like, you know, we signed him when RVP was there. I think we'd signed Podolski as well. You know, you can get a player like Giroud at that time for that relatively low fee and not really have big expectations of him. I think Giroud grew with the club. You know, he grew into, because he'd never played at anything close to the level that Arsenal were at. And you can see what he's done with his career as far as like playing his way into the France national side, World Cup winner. He played a big role in that
career, to be honest.
He's gone on to Chelsea and, you know, still been highly functional in that Chelsea side. Chelsea have absolutely relied on Giroud, even if I think about this season. And I say he is, you know, you need different profiles. We talk about this all the time. You need different profiles. He was a very different profile, not someone that you can hinge your hopes on as your main centre forward in the league, and that's where we went wrong, and we all know it in that horrible Leicester season. He can't be your main guy, but as a plan B, fantastic. And I think it's no coincidence that since he's gone, we have, you know, we struggle in those games where we could get a late one into the box, and you know, he'd pop up with that header. The same thing that he's doing for Chelsea, by the way. Scoring those crucial, decisive goals, late goals when the game stretched, or someone to play off. We miss those things about him. So, yeah. And I think that's not the expectation that anyone had of Lacazette coming into it either. People kind of thought of Lacazette a bit. There were some parallels to Lacazette signing for us and Pepe signing for us, as to people thinking that Lacazette was a kind of like running behind striker who... you know, because we saw all these highlights of the games in France where he was in behind and he'd get his shot off and, you know, so on and so on. And he amassed a good number of league goals for Lyon over a number of seasons in that way. And we thought very similar about Pepe because we saw lots, you know, that record-breaking goal-scoring season where, yeah, just lots of balls over the top. He would run into the space, finish it, blah, 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 blah. And he's come and the reality's hit and he's just not what we thought he would be. So, yeah, man. Yeah, man, big disappointment. But we need to do the right thing this summer. Absolutely.
That's the only way, man.
Yeah, hello?
Yeah. Sorry, I was just saying, yeah, man, just kind of finish up.
Sorry, yeah, I was going to mention, do I need to cut that bit out? No, okay, cool, perfect, we're good. I was just going to mention that, obviously, Balogun has signed a new contract. So does this kind of make the decision on Lacazette a bit more complicated, like, because I'm a bit confused on what we do with Balogun, you know. If he's not going to get enough game time, then he needs to go out on loan. I don't see the point of keeping around the club unless you're going to give him significant minutes, right? But Martinelli needs those minutes.
I thought about this a little bit. I think I proposed something in the group, but I thought about this a little bit. We need to sell Lacazette. Free up the space. Need to sell Eddie and Katia. Free up the space. Go into the season with Balogun, Martinelli, and Balogun, Martinelli, and Aubameyang as our three main strikers. Both Balogun and Martinelli are capable of playing out wide. Both Balogun and Martinelli should be playing all the Europa League games, so they get a significant amount of games for the Europa League, I think. And then in the league, we need to look at rotating them in. ESR will play as well on the left at times, but I think they need to stay at the club. I think sending them alone can work, but I think Balogun has not even played or had the chance to play with the first team. Whereas some of these youngsters have had it. Willock has had it. It's helped him. He's doing well on loan at Newcastle. Reece Nelson has had it. He's not really kicked on, but he's had this time of playing with the Arsenal first team. And I think before we send him out any loans, I think he's 19 now. He should get that 1 year at Arsenal Football Club. We never know. He could be really good. He could be like Saka. Saka had that 1 year before we sent him out unknown. Imagine we'd have just sent Saka out unknown. No, he didn't even send unknown. Imagine we'd have sent him out unknown. We wouldn't have the fruits that we have now. So Balogun, that 1 year, needs to stay here, see for what he can do. If he can play his way into the side, he needs to get minutes. Whatever else happens after that, we will see. But I think I've reviewed my opinion, and I don't think we should be sending them out on loan straight away. I think it's not the same as Saliba, but similar with Saliba. We sent them out on loan and looking like, yeah, we could use this player right now. And this is something that I could envision happening with Balogun, that he does well on loan. You're like, actually, at the moment, we are William is playing. Like, why? Like, just have him here and use him.
Is it not risky, though? you have, right, so you've suggested our three strikers are Aubameyang, Martinelli and Balogun, right? Martinelli and Balogun have, well, Balogun has never played in the Premier League before. Martinelli, I wouldn't know how many Premier League starts, less than, you know, 10 maybe. And how many goals? Maybe 3 or 4?
He hasn't got that many, no.
So doesn't that represent a risk to you?
Yes, it does represent a risk, yeah.
Yeah, I think, I do agree with, I agree with a lot of what you've said, German Dan. I think, you know, even in the group, I agreed with your point. By and large, my worry is that my worry really leans on Aubameyang and the season that he has had. Well, it's twofold. My worry is kind of like at the top end, that consistent, reliable scorer that we do have is also in a downward turn. At this point in time, I don't know if it's just a blip or if this is the beginning of a decline. None of us know that. I think what needs to happen with Aubameyang is that he needs to get back to starting games up front for us, in a side that's fully functional and creating chances. That needs to happen. If Aubameyang all of a sudden has a decline or an injury or a prolonged spell out of the side, then our centre-forward hopes, our goal-scoring hopes, are hinging on Balogun and Martinelli. Now, we've seen a little bit of Martinelli, but not really as a centre-forward and not enough to know that, yeah, this guy can be a regular, consistent scorer for us, and even less of Balogun.
But do you know what I come back to? Do you know what I come back to? And I have a lot more faith in Martinelli and Balogun than I have in Eddie and Katie. And when we had this discussion last year in the group, I said, if we're selling Lacazette, we have to buy someone because I don't have any faith in Eddie. And people were arguing against it, saying, no, give Eddie the minutes, play him, etc.
No, you're spot on about Eddie as well.
Now I think we have two very good talents. And in general, my strategy and approach would be to similar to what Liverpool have done. Who has been the backup to Firmino all those years?
Divock Origi. Maybe to their detriment. It's been Origi, right?
Yeah, but he does a good. Do you know what I mean? They had a very strong first 11, kit out the first 11 as strong as possible. Try achieve those targets. If you then fall short, cool. But you need to get out the first limb as strong as possible. This approach of trying to build the squads and etc. that takes too long. We need success now. We need results now. And the only way we can get there is by having a very, very strong first 11 that plays basically all the Premier League games. Fuck off the League Cup and FA Cup next season. Play the young boys in it. Don't play Partey in no FA Cup ties. That's got to be Miguel Aziz or whatever is in the squads. We need to really maximize the league. I've seen it this year. If you're consistent, you get results in the league, you will get top four because a lot of these teams slip up very much so. And we went on the races at all this year. And we actually had enough quality to do it. And I think next year will be a bit more tight. I think Spurs are still slipping and sliding. I don't really believe in Leicester's hype that much. I think West Ham probably won't be about that next year. It'll be City, Chelsea, and it'll be between United and Liverpool and us.
But Dan, what happens if Oba does have that decline or gets injury or Arteta decides he's had enough of him, he turns up late to training again or whatever, then the two people we're hinging our goal-scoring hopes on, and remember, this is a side already bereft of goal scorers. We're not scoring enough goals as a team either. That means the hopes hinge solely on Martinelli and Balogun.
That's unfair.
That's big pressure. Yeah, that's huge pressure.
I think it's unfair. These are two relative novices. You got Martinelli, who you know hasn't even had a full season in senior football.
Unfair.
Yeah, there's not enough senior football. I don't think that's
unfair. The opportunity isn't unfair, but I think the burden of pressure. We're talking about scoring goals at the highest level. I think that's an unfair pressure to burden two 19-year-olds with.
Yeah, and we don't have a benchmark. We don't have a benchmark.
I think Arteta will see it that way as well. Arteta already don't like using the kids. He don't like using the kids. So And this is what is scaring me about the Lacazette thing, because I think the only striker we've really been linked with is Edouard. Unless you guys can think of any other strikers.
Yeah, I think this is where the age profile comes into it.
We've been linked with Patson Daka as well.
Very scarcely, right? Not strong. But the Edouard link is something that keeps coming back. And it says to me that I think they want that striker who is like the stopgap kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So a clear backup to Oba, who doesn't cost £52 million and is on £200,000 a week, but someone who is going to chip in here and there, you know, like a Giroud level type striker, and still maintain resale value. So in 2 to 3 years time, when Balogun and Martinelli are ready, we can then sell that striker, or he maintains becoming backup, and Aubameyang, obviously his contract comes to an end, and then Balogun and Martinelli then come into the fold, and you know it's between those two who are, you know, our first choice striker. I believe Balogun will go out on loan. If that does happen, I just can't see us. Two things are going to happen: we're signing a striker, or Lacazette is staying. I do not envisage that your scenario playing out.
And I agree with you. I think that's the realistic scenario. That's just what I would.
I think it's the best scenario. I think it's the most sensible scenario. I wouldn't be angry at the club for doing it, because I do think it's very risky.
The problem I see is that we're selling Lacazette 50 mil, we're buying Edouard for 15 to 20 mil.
Mm.
That 15 to 20 mil, we're going to now have to pay, or we're going to have to now look at a player that is not as good as what we could get at the right-back position in centre midfield because of the cut in that budget. So I'm looking still as the holistic approach for me is make the first 11 as strong as possible. So if that means
you can buy
the right back for 30 mil instead of 20 mil and the centre midfielder for 30 mil instead of 20 mil, that means that team will be significantly better if you buy the right players, of course. Then
you're
if
saying it from a holistic approach, Dan. That's the thing. I suppose I get your point. I don't disagree with your point. The way that I've been looking at it and thinking and answering this question really is in response to just solely looking at our striking options and our centre forward position. If you're talking about a holistic approach and that, then it is still hypothesis, because we don't know how much money we will have to spend in the summer, what players will be available, what players won't be, what players will actually be moved on, etc., what fees we'll be able to command. So a lot of this is hypothetical. But I get you. I think looking at it only from the perspective of centre forwards, though, I think this is where the age profile conversation comes into it, because you've got two very young strikers who are gifted and, you know, have a ceiling, have a very high potential based on what we know about them and the little that we've seen on them so far. And then you've got an elite scorer already who is he 31 already?
Yeah,
he's 31 years old. He'll be 32, in the summer? Going into the start of next season, he'll be 32. So, you know, I think we need that kind of anywhere between that 22, 23-year-old striker to, 26-year-old?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think there are players who kind of, across Europe, who fit that mold, who we could probably get, who have already played at some sort of top... not necessarily the top level, but I've played at the top of their league, basically.
Yes, of course. And an ideal world, I definitely agree with you, but I think our circumstances and how far we have fallen off require a different approach.
Mm.
Don't get me wrong, Dan. I think I would like your suggestion.
Same.
I want to see Balogun. Do you know what I'm saying? I want to see him, or Balogun, Life of Bodge.
Yeah,
said.
We're being checked. Sorry, yeah. Bodge.
Balogun. Yeah, I would like to see him play. I would like to see him play as much as possible for Arsenal. I don't want to see him out on loan. But I'm just thinking purely from a developmental purpose, if he isn't going to get the game time here, he needs to get it somewhere else. And, you know, playing 13, games a season, maybe five or six starts, isn't great for him.
Let me propose you something different then. So we'll do sell Lacazette, sell Eddie, Balogun, and Martinelli, and sign a striker on the free, a veteran striker or a striker.
And that's even minutes, no?
What?
That's even less minutes for them, though, isn't it?
No, this striker is a pure backup. This is a pure backup.
But then backups need minutes too.
Yeah, and he'll get them off the bench.
Hmm.
So fit out the numbers, get some.
So who are you thinking? We get signing like fucking what's his name? Mario Gomez or something like that.
You've also got to think, yeah. But something as well.
Why do you think that's a German struggle? That's not what I'm about, no, man.
But something as well.
Get Giroud back.
Yeah, why not? But something as well that you've got to consider, I'm only joking about Giroud, by the way, is that it also, if there's no European football, the squad will be quite lean next season as well.
We'll get European football to be honest, champs, don't we? I think we'll be involved in some capacity. I think if we...
What, that Europa League,
Yeah.
See Europe, that Europa C. Yeah,
we're going to be involved in it. I think if you finish eighth, we get in it.
That's disgusting, mate. I'd rather. And where are we going to... We're playing in the minnows now. Where are we going to be playing then? Yeah.
I don't know,
I'd rather just not.
Estonia or somewhere like that. Somewhere crazy.
Yeah.
But... Yeah, look, it's an interesting thing, right? Look, someone's just Pete Rompol in the YouTube comments. He's just, you know, said, would you take him? And I think that's an interesting shout because, yeah, it probably is someone I would look at just being a strictly because he's got Premier League pedigree. He's not going to cost much. And as long as he's playing second fiddle to Aubameyang, I wouldn't really mind. Because then it allows.
Is he on a free?
No, it cost about maybe 10, 15 mil. What,
yeah, I don't think it would cost that much money.
He's a Chelsea player, isn't it? So it's just us taking Chelsea rejects.
I guess so.
And it's our obsession with doing that.
That's the only thing, right?
Have we not learned our lessons? Like,
this is one player I wouldn't mind taking in a purely backup role.
I can't get behind it, Lewis. I've been scarred too many times. I can't get behind it. I hear you.
Look, I get the Chelsea sentiment.
There's a strong comment from Glenn Richardson. No more Chelsea guys.
Glenn's not
having it.
I get it.
No thanks.
But the thing is, you have to be shopping somewhere. For your target striker, right, who we're talking about right now, is limited places you're going to be shopping. And it might be an opportunity like that. That might be a relatively easy deal to do. You know, you say to Mishi, you come off the bench, you're a backup to Oba, you let Martinelli get minutes on the left and up front in the cup competitions and in Europe. And then you put Balogun on loan. Potentially.
I don't really like this loan thing, bro. I get it,
but he needs to play, bro. He needs to play. Like, if he ain't playing fucking 25 games next season, what's the
point? The Europa League has made a lot of young boys. Saka has stepped into that Europa League and started
clapping. And if we don't get Europe next season, where does the game time come from? We're talking, what, three or four games in the League Cup?
If we don't get Europe, then he definitely needs to go on loan. If we don't get Europe, he definitely needs to go on loan. But if we do, then I think, yeah.
It's not. I don't think there's a right or wrong answer here. I think there's a sensible way. There's a way that I would like to see. You know, I'm not gonna be.
Actually, nah, man, fuck the loan thing, man. Either scenario, he ain't going nowhere, man. I need that boy here next year.
I want to see him play. But if it's gonna be sporadic, we're only killing him. And this is the thing: Eddie has died a death of a thousand knives this season because.
Eddie has a lot of opportunities, though.
Has he? And I'm not an Eddie fan. Don't get me wrong. I'm not an Eddie fan, but I don't think we've given that kid opportunities. I don't think we've given him enough opportunities to get game time under his belt. And he hasn't been used since bloody Christmas. We're just ruining his value. We're ruining his development. It's... You know, it's not right. We shouldn't be doing this.
Arteta's handling of younger players has...
That's scaring me, Shabs. It's scaring me. Mishi is out of contract this summer. Free signing.
Nah, man, stop.
I'm going to put that in the group chat. That is going to get a fucking reception and a half, that.
Peter, I don't know what you're doing, Peter. Like, it was all right to begin with, but this, to stop entertaining these ideas, man. Like,
I'm gonna chuck it in there. All right, look,
we'll say something like Michi, and I've just looked. Yeah, 17 games, 2 goals. We can get that from Balogun or fucking Martinelli, to be honest.
From Eddie.
Even do you know what I see the bigger issue?
I don't think 17 games and 2 goals is enough. Look, how many minutes is that? How many minutes for Eddie this season?
Do you know what I see the bigger issue being? We need a wide forward. We need someone who can play out wide, who can contribute with goals and creativity in equal measure. So if you can look at getting, like, you know, between 7 and 12 goals from wide positions, that also helps. Anything above that is fantastic. But as a bare minimum in the league, like, if you can come in, score those much goals and create for us as well, chip in with a number of assists, then that's cool. You need to get players like Pepe scoring goals as well. You need to get goals from the centre of the park as well. Thomas Partey needs to let the team go and chuck in some long ranges.
Them long strikes are looking a bit brazy, Steve.
Yeah, they're looking crazy. You know, another central midfielder who can score goals.
Humidity in England's, you know, a bit nuts. It's doing some things to the ball there.
Yeah. I think if Ødegaard had a full season with us as well, I think, you know, we'd have seen a couple of goals from him as well. I think we'd be on at least 5.
These men need to start chipping in, 100%. Yeah. Wasn't, like, Partey and Ceballos, like, some of our only assists from midfield in the league this season?
Yeah, so it's
on the weekend.
It's cool. And and I would have less reservation as well about, but, like, I think if Martinelli is playing up front in a team that is creating chance on chance on chance, I've got less reservation about him based on what I've seen. And then the rest is for Balogun to kind of show and prove. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's in the games where Oba won't play or won't be fit or will be rested or whatnot. So I think that's the bigger thing for me. If we are going to go with that option, we need to recruit. If we are going to sell Lacar, sell Eddie, whatever, we need to recruit well so we can still get the right back that we need, the centre mid that we need, and get a wide player who can score and create. And I'll be easier about the whole thing.
Let's wrap things up. I want to get your predictions for tomorrow night. We've kind of veered off of Slavia Prague course, but let's not forget this is the most important game of the season. This is Arteta's most important game of his managerial tenure so far, more important than the FA Cup game last year, because this is a huge opportunity to get into the semi-final of the European competition, which can lead us into the Champions League, you know. So this is a massive, massive game. Shabs, talk to me, the voice of reason. What's going to happen tomorrow night?
Arsenal. Our European heritage is not good, man. Like, I said this on TLF as well. Our European heritage is not good. We don't do. We always let ourselves down in Europe. Yeah. And you can go to any point of any European competition for the last 20 years, man. Like, you know, I was sad. You lot are sad about the Champions League final. I'm sad about Galatasaray, man.
Same. That was one of my biggest. That was my one Sega of my earliest God. Heartbreaks the as Sega an Arsenal kit. Fan. Yeah.
Sega kit, Dreamcast, like, couldn't do
we've
it.
We've always Sega. Been shit in Europe. Sega we?
Backing us, we couldn't do it.
Yeah,
but
we've had so many disappointing nights in Europe. Like,
it's unreal.
You know,
it's unreal.
In terms of like great European nights,
fuck it. Listen,
I could probably count them on one hand. You've got Real Madrid, you've got Inter Milan, Roma, Villarreal. That's about it, really. Yeah. You know, it's. And Juventus at home, maybe.
Yeah. But other than that, it's just red stew, man. It's just red stew.
It's really bad, man. There's so many disappointments, especially away as well.
But I don't think this Slavia Prague side are good. I do believe that Arsenal can win. I believe it depends on the manager and who he picks. The manager and who he picks. I think if the manager does the right selection, I think we can beat this side comfortably. If he starts doing some bullshit and playing players like Willian and just players who have failed him and failed us all season, then, we kind of get what we deserve. So it, and on his head be it, because we're allowed out now. So, you know, yeah. someone's going to bump into you into Mikel Arteta somewhere. And yeah, not me. I'm not a hooligan. I'm just saying that, like, you know, the streets is open. So
apparently, like, Slavia Prague's home record is absolutely insane. And apparently in the last 2 or 3 years, it's like only Barcelona, Dortmund and Inter have beaten Slavia Prague at home in all competitions.
Boy.
So, yeah. And look, there's a lot of Czech Republic teams in there. You know what I'm saying? They haven't really beat anyone noteworthy. Yeah, I think, did they beat Leicester? Or was Leicester a draw?
They took out Leicester. They took out Rangers.
At home, was that against them, man? Sorry?
Leicester are not serious in Europe. They didn't score over 2 legs against these boys.
Yeah, yeah, they're big banner. But yeah, look, they didn't beat Leicester. Drew 0-0 at home with them. They drew 1-1 at home to Rangers. Look, listen, we shouldn't be trying to paint this picture that this is some big and scary team. They're fucking shit. If we don't go through tomorrow, Arteta needs to hand in his resignation.
Listen, I need a 3-piece tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Nothing else. If it's below a 3-piece, we've failed. Even if we win 2-1 or some nonsense, we need to put 3 past them. It's that simple. Mm-hmm.
Are we going to?
I don't know. We'll see. Nope. See
what, I want to hear a prediction, Dan. I want to hear a prediction.
Boy, the faith. I'm not selling faith right now. I'm not a hope dealer right now. Mm. Not right now.
All right. Dan's sitting on the fence. I'm going to give my prediction. I think I quite like Peter and Paul's prediction of 2-1 after extra time. I think it's going to be one of them evenings. We're going to be really annoyed, and then we're going to somehow get a victory somehow. But, you know, look.
Probably will be like that, yeah.
I can see it being quite tight. I can see it being quite tight. You know, I don't want to – let's not forget they had chances in the first leg as well, you know. They were probably worth a point, really and truly. I know we had our chances. They had their chances. You know, they were worth a point. I thought we were really poor in the first leg. So we need to be better. If we're not better, we're going to struggle, because they're going to smell blood and they're going to stick it right on us, mate. Absolutely right on us. Anyway, look, we'll leave it there. It's late enough. It's 11:30. Guys, look, hopefully we talk to you again after an Arsenal victory. We'll be having a post-match after the game tomorrow. So if you want access to that before next Thursday, join our Patreon and you'll get access to that. Thank you to everyone who's joined the live stream. And we'll be back as usual next week. Take it easy, guys.
Bless.
It's got to 2-2 and we've still got more than half an hour to go. And here's Ozil. Lacazette. Ozil!
This is a melody.
Baby, welcome to the party. I'm off the Myers and the lean. That's why I'm over retarded. Baby, welcome to the party. I hit the boy up and then I go skating around it. Baby, welcome to the party. Pick some of that. Give me lit. Gun on my head. One in the head. Send in the clip. Baby, don't trip. Just lower your tone.
Sports Social Podcast Network.